Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Tonight's very special guest is Brianna McGowan. Brianna, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
All right. I heard Brianna some time ago, and I was stunned by her work. And I felt like a star was born. And I wanted to bring her to the listening audience tonight, so I'm so glad that you're here with me. I'm glad to be here, too. All right. Well, let me ask you a question as we begin this journey.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Why is poetry important?
Poetry, for me, is important because it's ultimately the way I heal. I write sometimes with structure, sometimes without structure. And I find that by me just expressing myself pen on paper, it's where I can really uncover new truths about myself or a new situation that I hadn't thought of. So for me, poetry is like a mirror for myself. And then I suppose why poetry is important on the grander, in the grander sense is it's musical human language in which it's a tool for us human beings to understand the world in a not so clear way. I would say that sometimes poetry can be very obscure, and that's what it's fun, because you can dance in and out of concepts and ideas and touch people in ways that I would suppose prose doesn't accomplish. It's the rhythm, it's the musicality, it's the human heartbeat of words, I would say.
All right, very nice. We'll share some of your work.
Yes. So, Michael, this first poem I performed with, you were there in the audience at the DC Girl of Poetry open mic. So I hope you liked it. It's called Woman on the Corner. I'm staring out the window, my legs propped up on some pillows, jazz playing in my headphones, looking at the world below. Overcast. What a beautiful word. Describes when the day takes a break from the sun. Clouds blanket us in gray. Everyone sighs in unison. It feels content and empty all at once. It gets comfortable with the silence. The hushed tones get quieter until there's none. It doesn't take offense. A woman standing at the corner of 8th and D. Her headphones in, too. She must have been listening to some great music by the way she was moving. It made me smile to see her grooving, being happy in the overcast. A light, watercolored rain streaked the air gray. Self-awareness showered down when she met the gaze of strangers. Embarrassed, she stopped dancing. Her entire composure changed. Her softness became sharp. Her smile turned straight. Even her dancing curly hair fell flat by her cheeks. Why didn't she want to be seen, uninhibited and free? dancing to music where only she knew the beat? Has the world conditioned us so severely in judgment to expect shame, to expect we should all be the same? Was she shamed in her past, too? Was she dimming herself to make the world feel comfortable, noticing how she stood out and wanted to blend, to become one with the rain? I empathize with her. I know what it's like to reduce myself, to be shamed, to understand when to make myself as small as possible to avoid a hungry man's gaze, to be accepted by people who define the status quo to survive, to just make it home, living life in a maze, not entirely sure if I'm going the right way, always cautious. This is what it's like to be a woman. Not all the time, but way too often. It's a condition I still haven't grown used to, and maybe that's a good thing, to feel it unnatural, to feel wrong, to accept less, to purposely be smaller as a means of acceptance. As a woman of color, I want to be the color in the overcast, so I wore red. So that poem was inspired by a random woman dancing in the rain on Equal Pay Day, and it was in celebration of womanhood and to also bring awareness to the fact that women are paid disproportionately less than men. And, you know, even when the data is parsed and organized by demographics, you know, the inequality is even more stark for women of color. So I was inspired by this woman, this random stranger on the corner who was dancing and so uninhibited and free. And she stopped dancing when she realized herself and when she was aware in the moment. Yeah, that poem was for her.
Very nice. Very, very nice. What are some of the predominant themes of your work?
I would say the experiences of being a woman are some of my main themes in my work. And it could be anywhere from loving to feeling kind of the systems of oppression in, I suppose, my own way. So I can't speak for every woman, but I can speak for what I have felt, and I hope that my greatest hope is that it heals a woman or makes a woman feel affirmed. Another theme I would have in my poetry is just the trivial things of life, like the nature. No, I wouldn't say that's trivial, but I would say it's the everyday. The everyday is what I find interesting to write about, because that's what I find joy in, is the small things in life. So those are the two main themes of my poem, is nature and womanhood.
And womanhood. You know, many poets have different methods for their writing. Some write on paper and then transmit to other forms of writing. Others work the computer first. How do you go about your writing process?
So it really depends, I suppose. With the iPhone or the phone now, I tend to write in my notes whenever I have just random inspiration. Like the other day, I was walking in the National Portrait Gallery, and I really love going there, first of all, because it's not only just a museum and it's beautiful and you can admire artwork and creations from humans, but also it's a place where people intentionally just slow down. And in D.C., everyone's moving so fast, so I really love going to the museum on my lunch break. And I just write down little lists of things that I think about and appreciate. So the Notes app on my phone is a great tool for just quick ideas. If I'm really trying to figure out maybe why I'm hurt or heal somebody, I put pen to paper and I just write and write until I feel like the truth has come out. And then I revise on paper. And if it's just if it's like a daily poem, because I do try to do a poem a day, if it's just that, then I will write on my computer. I try to. I don't do it every day, but when I do, I feel better. So my computer is a great place to do that.
Well, what about it makes you feel better?
Oh, that's a great question.
Writing a poem a day.
Yeah. It makes me reflect. And whatever it is I'm feeling, if it's if I'm feeling indignant, if I'm feeling like there's been an injustice, if I want to be appreciative and grateful, whatever I'm feeling, it's always either introspective or just a reflection of what I see. And I try to let the poem just write what is rather than what should be, I suppose. And because, you know, I feel that poetry is a mirror. So if you're writing what is, then the listener, or the person who is experiencing the poem, I think it's up to them to determine whether or not they've heard an injustice. And hopefully society is good to where you want them to empathize with people and things like that. So I feel good when I write poems because I feel reflective and I feel like I'm centering myself.
Right. You know, it's funny. May is National Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm,
and poetry has helped so many in terms of mental health, in terms of finding their way in the world. So
I commend
you for writing a poem a day. I really do. Okay, now it's time for you to share another piece of your work.
That's a great segue because I have quite a few poems about mental health. This one is called Sincerely Crazy.
Okay. All right.
Sincerely Crazy. I fell apart right before your eyes. Everything was going fine until I wasn't all right. My mind a melting canvas with hot colors streaking the beautiful picture I worked so hard making, seeping into my mind. I knew they were coming from my mind. I felt myself try to fight, scared to let it take you too. I ran into the night. I have monsters in my mind. They lay peacefully asleep when I'm happy. They yawn and they turn over and they dream their monster dreams. Pray for me when they wake. It happens so fast when they decide to play. That's why I keep you at bay, afraid they may take you. Rage fills me. I promise it's not you. I promise it's not me. It's not who I want to be. It's so hard to love me, but I'm growing, and that gives me hope. I have the power to change me, but in the moment, they conquer and I lose. I hate that I lose my mind and I cry, recognizing that I'm still weak, that I still have a life's work ahead of me. I thank you for loving me. Because of you, I want to change and be the person I want to be. I fell apart right before your eyes. My eyes started dripping and I lost sight of who I am. In those moments, I don't recognize myself. Those aren't my eyes, and hey, that isn't my nose. Those aren't my teeth, and they aren't my words. And these monsters are my thoughts. They don't say anything. They're dark, and they take no form. That is what's scary about it the most. They only exist when I let them. I've been getting better at recognizing when I feel I'm losing control. I try to be different, but when you see me, you're looking at me, and I thank God that you see it's not really me. And when I set out to find the real me, I thank you for supporting. You shine light so I can see and collect the parts of me. You hold the mirror as I gently put myself back in place. I'm sorry. I'm trying. Learning to be queen of the wild things. But if you need to leave, I'll let you go peacefully. I will harness the strengths you gave me and will think of you fondly. Thank you for loving me. Sincerely, Crazy.
Wow, that's very powerful, very, very powerful. Please share another.
Oh, I would love to. So so it's kind of in the spirit of reflecting. This poem is called Who Do I Want to Be? It's been a while since I've asked myself this question. The waxy leaves, once sweating with the spring dew, have withered brown, and their brittle little remains faintly sound under the slightest of weight. The eager sun that beckons the world awake, the crisp apple mornings of fall turn sharp, striking hard the cold wintry sky, contrasting the buoyant sunrises of summer that tickled the blue sky pink, teasing the day, the sunsets flirting with night. Everything now seems curt, stymied. Nature's growth has stopped, and it reflects not only in the leaves, but itself manifesting in the rushed, the quicker, the quieter, The world seems like a hollow bowl where everything echoes, reverberating back and forth and back and forth. And I think I've heard that before. The echoes echo, and I've lost the original thought. Thoughts that were born from compulsive creation, radical and daring, nutrients to the soil of this nation seeping through the smooth, warm folds that crease at both sides of our heads, the wrinkly little works of art absorbed instead of echo. And if you were to detach them from your skull and pull them together, they would form little hearts that could listen with love. It would be remiss to blame the weather as the reason we now cover them with muffling muffs, ear cuffs. No, the responsibility lies within us, and I, at times, catch myself shirking as I enjoy a warm evening, easily forgetting those who would be cold that night. Their plight, shunned from natural rights, pushed to the shadows, under the bridges, in the alleys, where the sun seems to trip over and over and over again, but shadows are normal, right? Consider yourself lucky to be whipped by next morning's light. Quicker you walk, the sooner truths are hidden from sight. Blurry-eyed, blurry mind, non-committed and passive. You were there. Where was I? Where was I? Oh, yeah. Who do I want to be? Don't tell me to wait. For what? Wait until my time is up? No, I'm alive. But I do want the courage to slow down. The wisdom to recognize, with ears that listen and love that liberates, denying the expensive walls of hate, to plant seeds of justice, loving each day so they may grow come May, fiercely reaching for the light, to do what is right, to resist the winter of the mind, to resist the winter of the mind. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Quintessential Listening Poetry. I'm here with Brianna McGowan. Brianna, please share another of your works.
Hello? All right. This next one is called She Realizes She is a Human. My skin is purple. Underneath, I'm red. I feel responsible for the monsters in my head. I lie awake in my bed. Is this life until I'm dead? Is this my life until I'm dead? I'm growing branches for my shoulders. My leaves turn green. In the spring sun, I bear fruit. I was awake when you whispered you loved me. I was awake, and I pretended I was asleep. I've been awake to many things and pretend I'm asleep to keep myself sane, to protect myself from the suffering. Am I strong or am I weak? He began to raise his voice. She held firm in her raised eyebrow. She knew if he were to yell louder, the neighbors would hear. She'd sad she doesn't know, they're used to the fighting now. Along the subway, she slept, peacefully sleeping in her chaos. Sleep comes sweet like sugar and medicine. She wakes to find a new spot for the night. Standing atop a wondrous hill, the wind picked up and settled in chill. Her night, she thought, was coming one day. Unaware of her own glistening armor, silver sword at her hip, swaying side to side, her round bottom catching eyes. Everyone swooned when she smiled. She was just trying to pick up her child. School is a prison. The pipeline is working. Prison is the mind stuck in slavery. Prison is the body feared by power. Prison is the soul exploited by jealousy. Prison was made by the oppressor. Her jealous lover demanded, unappreciative of her gifts. Things have been going so well. She had roses in her hair. She smelled like a blossoming garden, blooming for a man who destroyed her petals. She learned to build walls instead of flowers. Her body ached from the unnatural labor. No man could have her. Asking someone to be with you for a lifetime is pretty cruel. To accept his demons and to ask for love, she does so without blinking, because she loves her baby boy in her arms. She crosses the Rio Grande, hoping to one day sing him to sleep, sweet lullabies about their native land, in a new land that may one day destroy her baby boy, his hands so small they can barely grasp that one day he'll be a man. The mother prays that he'll be kind. She braves the sweltering sun, miles of desert towards an unknown, blistering feet of those who fight, angered by justice, taking to the streets, hear the heartbeat of those hearts who are breaking, but together they stand with ideas of a better world. My heart aches and pools in my chest. Heartbeats don't define life. My words come and my words go. The tides come and the tides go, but that doesn't mean there isn't an ocean. I am my ocean, deep and mysterious. No man has gone deep enough to uncover the gems she has hidden. She's not a treasure hunt. There's just the depth and pressure of a woman, pressuring her to say yes. Not really sure what to say, she mumbles. It's not okay to assume yes. She's paralyzed. When her lover confessed, he too violated a woman. How can that be? A man so sweet violated and destroyed a woman in her identity. She looks in the mirror. She isn't what she sees, a disfigured creature, scared and breaking, barely breathing. She wants so badly to shed her skin and become the butterfly she was meant to be before he hurt her. She forever lives in her cocoon made of silk. What do? When the ones you love have at one time perpetuated hate. Isn't it great that humans are such forgetful creatures? A curse and a blessing. We reinvent ourselves. We evolve. It keeps our species alive. Alive? What does it mean to be alive for a human? Is it our breath, our doubt, our love, our forgiveness, our mistakes? He held his daughter on his shoulders. Her sweet laughter dances in the air. Onlookers smile and wave at her. She giggles blissfully, unaware that one day she'll be a woman. A woman just looked around. Did others witness her being harassed? Unbelievable, she thought. This just happened to me. This is now a part of my story. Her eyes frantically searching for a knowing look to acknowledge she wasn't crazy, that she wasn't crazy for reacting. Strangers blur in, strangers blur out. Sonder. A perfect word to describe strangers living just as vividly as you and I. You're a stranger to a stranger, and so on. So when strangers carry on, blind to injustice, know that the strangers are what make up our society, and we are responsible for each other. Your averting eyes and turning cheeks do not absolve your responsibility. Speak up, the teacher said. She raised her voice a little louder. She wasn't explicitly taught to be quiet. It was just given to be smaller. And when she braved to dare the structure, to shake its foundation, she realized just how weak the structure is. I am alive, she said. I am alive because of my mother. The walls begin to crumble. You are alive because of your mother. The roof is blown away and the sunlight shines in. We are alive because of woman. We die because we are human. And she summons the universe, a witch. She has powers. She is the one who determines whether she wishes to give life, because she is worth more than her uterine capabilities. She realizes. And that's how she knows she's alive. She wishes to awaken those that are asleep, and they realize life doesn't have to be this way. Life doesn't have to be this way. What are these games we play? Truth, woman, and man are humans. Dare, I dare you to be a human. See strangers as human. See me how I want to be seen. Find the beauty in me, and I'll find the beauty in you. And I'll love you for what you are, a human. Thank you.
Do you think that you were meant to be a poet?
That's a great question. I think I'm still trying to find out what I'm meant to be, but I do know that poetry saves me.
How so? If you don't mind sharing.
No, I would love to share it. It saves me in the sense that I feel without it, I wouldn't really have a way to communicate these abstract feelings that I feel. And they're not necessarily in something that could be fit in a perfect sentence. Sometimes my thoughts just trail off and I need to start with a new breath, a new idea that might be, you know, inspired by a previous thought or might be completely from something else, but I can tie it together. And I feel that poetry gives me that ability. It gives me the ability to not be so concise and to be a little muddy in my work. And hopefully,
okay. All right.
Hopefully people are, I guess, they sympathize with the fact that sometimes my poetry is all over the place, but at the same time, there is a method to the madness. So it saves me in terms of I feel that I can be a human being in language. Language is very powerful.
Yes, it is. What makes a good poem? What makes a poem good?
What makes a poem good? That's a good question.
That's why they pay me big bucks. Big question.
let me tell you something. Maya Angelou has got to be my favorite poet. And
right.
What makes her poetry good for me is that she can bring people into a world where people can understand something even if they'll never experience it. Good poetry is something that invites you into a new perspective and makes you feel something. That's what I think good poetry is.
Well, please share another of your works.
All right. Well, this one's actually a birthday present for my partner, Sam. I wrote it this past week. So happy birthday,
wow.
Sam. This is for you.
Happy birthday, Sam. Happy birthday.
All right. Night poured a thick syrup over the biscuit clouds. My lips met the sweet, heady, warm air of early June. My white button-down clung to my back. Beads of sweat formed like a pearl necklace. I called a car and drifted as my eyelids bowed, heavy from the day and heavy from the night, heavy from the stress and heavy from the wine. The driver weaved through the streets as if he were making a basket, picking up treasures along the way. He picked up two strangers, one who sat in the passenger seat, and you who sat next to me. Out of my slump, I woke up to the sound of your laughter, and in the back of the rideshare, on that bold night in June, began our adventure. I like to think you took my hand, holding me gently ever since, rocking me in a velvet hammock, dancing with me like melting butter, singing jazz in your tenor to the rhythm of our hearts, beating together and apart. Being with you is like making art, blending and mixing, playing with form and ceaselessly creating, using colors from our mistakes and pain to form new works of art, our story ever changing as we continue painting. We step back to look at our creation, celebrating the ingenuity of our transformation. You are my blessing. I celebrate you every day because I love you and will celebrate you for the rest of my life. When I think of you, I think of you in every shape and form. I think of love, in every shape and form. The gentle kiss between two lovers makes me think of you fondly. The embrace of friends before they part. The touch of a mother comforting her baby in her arms. The sweetness of two people sharing ice cream. The man tickling his soft dog's belly. The uninhibited giggles of kids racing. The reassuring look of an older sibling as the younger braves independence. Birds chirping, splashing in water, the ocean caressing the shore confident the ocean will return again. A dad coming home, hugging his children. A person returning from years in prison, warmly embraced by loved ones. An eager college kid casting their first ballot. People protesting for a more just future within the unperfect union so that they can see their loved ones live freely. A leaf rustling in the wind, tree standing firm and tall as a treehouse is built and its providing branches, where secrets can be shared and alliances created by curious kids acting out their imaginations, curtains billowing, unknowingly protecting from the harshest rays, a found dollar bill in a jacket, using it to buy a treat after a taxing day, heady spices coming from the kitchen, whistling across the road in sunshine, whispers in a delicate conversation, soothing pain and healing wounds, strangers holding each other after a devastation, rebuilding with intention, swaddling an innocent baby, a full night's rest, the breath one lets out after a long day, roasted coffee beans that yield the perfect cup, finding a love note in the corner of a book, politicians reaching a bipartisan agreement, a humble apology, receiving a massage from healing saved hands, kneading out the knots where burden collects in the muscle, a cool drink of water that relieves a headache, a person feeling at home, a smile. In the simplicities and complexities of life, I see love every day. And when I feel dismayed by brutalities, I know love is still there because I know you. Because you are love, and you love fiercely. Because you live so openly, inspiring me daily about the power of humanity. I dedicate this poem to you, Monshu. That was for Sam.
All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. Again, happy birthday, Sam. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Has your idea of what poetry is changed since you began writing poems? Your idea of what poetry is?
My idea of what poetry is? I would say yes. So when I was first introduced to poetry, it was very much the classic poets like Emerson, Thoreau, Yeats, Kipling. And I was thinking it had to be this very, I would say, tight form. Mm-hmm. And it required a certain language that not everyone had. And I felt that it was a very, I would say, exclusive kind of art form. And then as I was introduced to slam poetry and heard different poets from around the world doing amazing things, the concept of poetry definitely changed for me, and it made me feel like I could be included in that community and have a place.
You know, speaking of poets being from around the world, where do you hail from?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
All right, Houston.
Mm-hmm. Houston.
How
great.
How has
hot?
Okay. How has being from Houston helped shape your work?
That's a great question. So me being from the South and also so close to Mexico, there's a huge Mexican population. I would say the tensions in the South are very much tensions about immigration and things like that. But I feel like Mexican culture was a part of my everyday. So I kind of took that for granted. I took the culture for granted there. And then moving, I can see that some people don't appreciate that culture that I find so beautiful. And so that's shaped me in terms of how I view, I suppose, immigration and things like that, living so close to the border. But also, Houston's hot. We have natural disasters. Hurricane Harvey was devastating. And rebuilding a city after something like that, after people lose everything, is something that a lot of places don't experience. I suppose random places now are experiencing it. Like in Nebraska, they had that huge flood that was just absolutely devastating, and other places around the world. But yeah, I would say Houston is very unique, and along the actual Gulf of Mexico, during hurricane season, is a type of experience that one wouldn't have if they didn't live there. In terms of the beauty, Houston's so diverse. It is actually the most diverse city in America, I believe, according to a recent study.
Okay.
And being around all of that, all of the flavors and spices of human beings, it's beautiful, and it allows you to feel and experience the And celebrate, I would say. Yeah, celebrate the differences of humans. And that's something that Houston has a lot to offer. The art, the music, it's a bayou city, it's gritty, it's the rap that comes from Houston is also great. The architecture, the people, the food. Houston's
wow.
very, yeah, I mean, I could go on. I love Houston so much.
I can
but,
tell.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a great advertisement for the city.
Great place. Although, I do have to say, I feel D.C. is becoming my home.
Tell me
so,
more.
Tell
me more.
Yeah, so I got to say, when I came up here for a job, I had an idea of what D.C. was, and I was quickly disillusioned, but I think it's the best thing that could have happened for me. And I'm not saying the disillusionment was great, because I was introduced to the stark realities of income inequality, and I would say very prominent segregation still, especially in the housing in D.C.
Yes.
I thought D.C. was a very much politician city, but the real, I don't want to say the real D.C., but the people who have been here for generations experience a completely different part than what is the national narrative of what D.C. is. So I've come to get to know people and talk to people on a deep and profound level, and D.C. isn't at all what I thought it was coming here, but the D.C. I'm getting to know seems like a place where I feel I'm meant to be. There's a lot of room for growth. It's not functioning. I would say the D.C. government itself is very corrupt. The money isn't allocated as it should be. I recently went to my ANC meeting, which is like the local meeting for different neighborhoods or different wards in D.C.
Yes.
And I live in ANC 1C. So it's basically like the bottom part of Adams Morgan. And they were just talking about the different problems within the city and things like that. And it's something that I would never experience from any other part of the country. It, the way things are governed here is so different.
Well, speaking of that, what do you see as being the role of a poet in modern day society?
The role of a poet, I think there are many roles. One powerful way to be a poet is to write about what is going on. And I feel the artists of the world, not just poets, but artists, are the ones who are bold and daring in showing injustice and inequality and bringing it to light and talking about it. And that's what poetry, that's why poetry for me can be so powerful, especially in this day and age, is because it's a way to talk about things in an art form that, you know, people can just listen and internalize and have communication afterwards and talk about it. Poetry is a great way to just talk about things, to say what's going on, and to see if anyone, and to get a pulse of how people feel about it, about different topics, about different issues.
Right. Please share another of your works.
All right. So, I think I was just inspired just now about D.C.
Wow.
And the inequalities and stuff. So I have a poem here that I wasn't planning on sharing, but because I feel it's necessary, and I was just talking about poetry being a means to talk about things that might be uncomfortable and things like that. Here's a poem called Abused and Homeless. D.C. has a very high homeless population, or people who are homeless population, and I would say that's another thing I learned when I moved to the city. So here's the start. Also, I apologize for the siren in the background. Another
that's
aspect of...
That's D.C.
That's D.C., baby. That is D.C.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to let it pass for a bit.
Okay.
Okay. All right. There we go. So this one's called Abused and Homeless. I woke up to a misty Saturday on the morning of January 5th, 2019. Still snuggled in bed, I finished reading an article I had fallen asleep to the night before. My sheets were soft, clean, warm, and smelled of cotton. One of the little pleasures of life. After finishing the article, I went to take a shower. I decided to listen to the latest Chris Hayes podcast. Poured a cup of coffee from the kitchen, got dressed, and headed to the Shaw DC Public Library. If the story were to stop here, it would seem like just another day. The mundanity of my morning ironically stems from a comfortable lifestyle that affords me leisure. This regular morning is starkly different from the morning of the people I encounter later in the story. I don't know their names or even their own stories and feel inadequate telling mine. Nonetheless, I will continue. The first floor of the library was filled with kids running around. I really needed to focus on my research project in a quieter space, so I asked the librarian where was the best place to study. Up, she pointed, without looking at me. But you may want to reserve a room when you get up there. A warning tone in her voice, yet she seemed unfazed. I took the stairs to the second floor, a quieter part of the library. The smell of urine immediately assailed my nose, and as I cleared the stairs, I took in the scenery. People who were homeless, sitting quietly, scrolling online or just reading. Some of them had slept outside in a night that dipped below freezing and had been on the move since the crack of dawn for survival, to stay warm. The human suffering weighed down on my chest, and I walked into a space suddenly aware of my presence. I followed instructions and asked to reserve a room. There wouldn't be one for an hour or two, so I tiptoed around past the shelves all the way to the back where the smell subsided, and there was no one. I sat down in the corner and began, line after line in my research, breath after breath, my focused mind found the rhythm. I had just gotten into a workflow when two women came and sat a few feet away. My back was to them and was annoyed at how loud they were speaking. A few times, I had the urge to turn around and ask them to lower their voices, but I was trying to concentrate that it was a library. Taking out my headphones, I prepared for confrontation, but with free ears, I could listen. Their words, now decipherable and heavy, I immediately took heed to allow them to express themselves as freely as they need. It was as if I had repressed how I got to this corner, that a few feet away were people who suffer. The woman in the pink sweater articulated her thoughts and feelings very well. She was speaking of the abuses she experienced and trying to convince the other woman to go with her to the pro bono lawyer on Monday. They related with each other, respected one another's reality, expressed concerns of the shelter and its decrepit state. The showers were filthy. The place smelled of fecal matter. The bed had bugs, and they were drugged by strangers. They were abused and mistreated. No one would listen. It seems like one of these ladies was eager for justice and the other sent in her resignation. Life had been hard for them. And as I was hearing this with my back to them, how could I help? Who was I if I joined their conversation? What the fuck do I do to help them? Should I join them on Monday? Walk into the lawyer's office with them? Demand their rights and freedoms? Should I give them money, a food, a hug, validation? What do I do? So I allowed them their space to talk, to vent, to mourn the loss of their innocence. And as they left, I took a glance back and saw two young women abused and homeless. So this poem I wrote, I was very emotional about, because I was just absolutely upset. Homelessness in D.C. is a very real crisis. the misallocation of resources and the piss poor management of money that some of the corrupt DC politicians help maintain this repugnant status quo. And Mayor Bowser's 5-year plan to end chronic homelessness by 2018, you know, a year later, along with other goals, has been a failure. Youth homelessness, in my opinion, is like an assault on human rights. They didn't fail. The system failed them. And the state of being homeless is a systematic failure, to be frank, and no one should experience that. So, and it disproportionately affects people of color, people with mental illnesses, and the LGBTQ community. So I wrote this poem just to talk about it and to see if there's something I could do to help, maybe join some or talk to some activist groups who knows more than I do and just start the conversation.
You know, several years ago, I started a program here in D.C. at a local library. The program was called for homeless individuals, or unhoused individuals.
Oh, wow.
It was called Finding the Visible in the Invisible. Because you can walk, you can meet a homeless person and not really see that homeless person, to see the person
That's
behind
right.
them or her.
That's right.
And it was a poetry program, actually, where I worked with some homeless individuals to rediscover the five senses. Because living that life can dull you to the world. Can dull your senses to the world. So I do understand.
Thank you for sharing that. Is there a way that people could find out more about that?
Well, it was through a grant several years ago, but I can talk to you offline about it. All right.
Sounds great. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Again, my name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with Brianna McGowan. Brianna.
Hello, Michael.
Hello. Writers and poets write for a myriad of reasons. Some write primarily to speak a message to their audience. Others write because to stay silent is not an option. Why do you write?
Wow. I write because... I would say I write because I want to heal, and it's either to heal me, to heal someone I might have hurt unintentionally, or to just heal society.
To heal society.
That's right.
Now, when you write, do you sit and think through every word or every stanza, or do you write freely and allow the words to flow?
It depends. I feel like I give these very abstract answers, but if I want to play around with a certain rhyme scheme, if I want to have a little enjambment and feel like I want to have either a meter, I will try and follow that. But I feel honestly my best work come from just me riffing off of either how I'm feeling, maybe a conversation I heard, little inspirations, things like that, and then develop those.
I do write in stanza form when I feel like a thought is finished. I write primarily without structure, and I just like to feel the rhythm and feel the music of it and let that be how I write. But I do, at times, you know, we'll write a sonnet or two.
Right. Well, please share another.
All right. This one's called Memory of Laughter. The skinny branches shivered as the warm day chilled. Evening sighed over sun rays and windowsills, casting shadows that traced the streets, silent letters tribal dancing. Over the buildings, each with a different shape, arched, flat, steepled, domed, each limited to 14 stories, including my home. I took a stroll along the brick-paved alley, wondering, hearing a laugh in the distance. I thought it was you. Loud and unapologetic, intense and uninhibited, you laugh like how you live, bold and curious. Dark roasted coffee with the sweet mocha tang. It could wake the saddest soul, casting fierce light into their darkness, penetrating through the unknown, bringing new colors into existence. Immediately, your laugh carried me across the city into a memory. It was the last week of July. A layer of sweat stuck between our thighs. Your sweet, warm, heady scent from the open window above the bed caught in a breeze. I love the way you smell. Your natural scent brings me peace. You had said something funny. I buried my face in your soft, curly chest hair, doubling over in fits of laughter. I forget what about. My memory fogged by gray matter. But you would always make me laugh. Just your laugh could make me laugh through our arguments and your farts, and I love you with all my heart. Blinking fast, suddenly back, the brick street turned concrete. Right then left, I looked frantically, getting closer. The sound warped with each step. As I realized, it's from another. I dug my hands into my pockets and let out a breath. Looking up to the darkening sky, I closed my eyes, sending you love, and smiled, thankful for the memory. That was just a sweet little poem I decided to read, just because I felt like it was a little... My previous works were a little heavy, so I just wanted to sprinkle a little honey in the middle.
All right. Have you ever been published?
Have I ever been published? No, I haven't. But I would love to be.
Love to be, okay.
But let me shamelessly self-promote myself. Yes, I would love to be published. I think that, not that I feel like the world needs to know my poetry, but because I feel my poetry has healed a lot of people, I would like to heal more.
Yeah.
And I feel that being published is a great vehicle to do so.
You know, I heard you speak. Well, I heard you recite your work at Bossa Bistro restaurant here in the city. Are you a member of a writing group?
No, not officially. I attend a lot of open mics in D.C. And the open mics I tend to go to are at Busboys and Poets on 14th and Z.
Yes.
I frequent that one quite often, as often as I can go. I also go to Songbird every now and then on their open mics. And BOSA was my first time there, and I loved it. I loved the community. I loved the atmosphere. I loved the support that everyone had. I also am a part of a couple book clubs. There's this LGBTQ, queer, and alliance woman of color book club. And I really like it. Great people that I feel I normally wouldn't meet, and they're just wonderful people.
All right. What do you think is the relationship between your speaking voice and your written voice? If there is a relationship.
I haven't even thought of that before, but now that you say it, there might be sort of one. I feel like my speaking voice is less intentional. whenever I have my my poetic voice or the voice I use when I'm performing, I make sure that I am speaking with intention and that I put emphasis on where I want to put the emphasis. And yeah, I suppose in my just normal everyday voice, I'm less intentional, but I don't think it means that my words are less intentional, just the intonations are less intentional.
Okay. All right. Well, please share another of your works.
Okay. This one's a little shorter. It's called Charred Black. Charred black, her memory tarnished, lost in a sinister framework. Her age etched adversity on her cracked skin, and an image formed of a girl scared and weeping. Her moth-winged eyelids flutter, giving way to heavy tears, flow down her cheek. The heat streaked her and met her mouth. The salt burned her lips in drought. The end.
Okay.
That one was...
that was a short little poem.
a little jingle. Oh, I have to tell you, Michael, I also feel that poetry can be sung. And, oh, my goodness, there are some poets that are just such masters of this. I know I said Maya Angelou already, but she really is so great, and she's so lyrical. So she will literally dance in and out of speaking and singing, and I find that to be kind of my favorite poetry. So I like to write little jingles as well. Just a little thing. Whenever you're like brushing your teeth or cooking some toast, and you're like, I'm cooking some toast.
Well, do you have another short poem like that?
Let's see. I can probably find one. Oh, well, this one is, it's short in terms of sentence structure, but it's a little long. But
I can
read it. All right.
Okay.
So this one actually is called Together We Climb, and it was inspired by a time where I just felt severe stress. And going back to the mental health thing, poetry keeps me sane, honestly. So this was just my mental process and going through the mud of what I was feeling. And I think it resonates just in the words themselves. So together we climb. Tired eyes, my alibi. The moon alive, full and bright. We heavy side, come so high, still stuck in night. We're all right, we're all right, I'm just fine. I'm just fine. Break the lies. Hear your cries. Through the lies. Truth and ties. Knotted, we tied ourselves in lies. We're all right. We're just fine. Just stuck inside. Stuck in lies. Dream all night of mornings bright. Swimming skies, blue and white. Gray inside. Go inside. Go inside. We're all right. I'm just fine. Words fly. Upward skies. Creating eyes. Tired eyes, my alibi. Tears have dried, fears die. Thank God, fears can die. Darkness ties these hands of mine. Outward cries, reach for light, fight for light trapped inside the gray divide. Tears we cried, tears we tried. Riverside, I'm alive. We're all right, we're just fine. We just try. We love outside, being stuck inside. Stuck in lies, words fly. Morning surprised, morning arise, night hides, warm light, hands blind, reach for light, we're all right, we're all right. We've come so high, mountainside, look behind, we've come so high. By my side, slowly we climb, yes, we try. Our feet blind, together we climb, we're all right, we're just fine. Thank you.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Very last question, and we'll close out tonight. When people hear your work, they usually want more. I know I want more. What's next for you? What's next for you as a poet?
Oh, goodness. You know, I was just thinking about it this morning when I was preparing for this radio show.
Okay.
What's my next? Yeah, no, I truly feel that I want to be more of a mirror. I want to write more about what I see. And I don't know if you've noticed, it's more about how I feel. So I think that even though that's great, I really want to write about what I see and what I witness and bring those to light. And I feel like my work is getting also more mature as I mature. And if my future self is ever listening to this, I hope you're at peace. And I hope that you feel you have bloomed beautifully. And I hope that my poem, or my poetry goes in that direction where I feel that I am confident and I can write about whatever it is I wish to write about and find my truth or find truth and be an inspiration for people.
Beautiful. I think that's a fantastic way to close the program. I'd like to thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Thank you for having me, Michael. I've truly enjoyed this.
I really have too. I mean, you uplifted my spirit, and I'm really, really pleased. So again, thanks to you, Brianna, and thanks to our listening audience, and we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Good night.